Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, saints, to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. That was the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And the group, it's a men's group. It's called the Veritas. A group of five men who sing a cappella. And at the end of the song, they all end with an amen. Let's listen to that again. Let's listen to that closing. Just magnificent. The word Amen or amen means that settles it. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. That settles it. The Lord has been faithful. In every generation, the Lord has been faithful. Let us open up our Bibles to Psalm 9. Psalm 9, a psalm of David. A psalm of the sweet singer of Israel. Psalm 9, a psalm in which God is praised by David. He is praised. The Lord is praised. And why is he praised? God destroys the wicked. At the end of human history, we shall praise the Lord because the dragon, Satan, and the first beast, the Antichrist, and the second beast, the false prophet, and all of the wicked shall be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Psalm 9 is an eschatological psalm. It points to what God will do at the end of time. He will destroy. He will annihilate the forces of darkness and bring peace to redeemed mankind. A psalm of David. Let's begin by reading, starting at verse number 1. We'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible.
Psalm 9, to the chief musician, to the tune of Death of the Son, a psalm of David.
I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne, judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. O enemy, destructions are finished forever. And you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. And he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid. Their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord. Do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men.
Our two principal scriptures, Here they are. Verse 10 of chapter 9. And they that know thy name, that's referring to us, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek you. And the other verse is verse 17. In contrast to those who put their trust in the Lord, this is the end of the wicked. The righteous are saved. The wicked turned to hell. It says, the wicked shall be turned to hell, and all the nations that forget God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again in faith. We turn to you because we hunger for your word. We desire your word. We desire to be fed spiritually. We come to you with a great desire of acquiring wisdom and knowledge to help us in the days that lie before us, that as we make our pilgrimage through this wicked world, we may be sustained by the nurturing word of God. Bless us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful and glorious name, amen and amen. The title of this week's series is No One Need Apply. The Lord our God is on the job. No one need apply. The Lord our God is on the job. Now, of course, after COVID, business owners have had a hard time. Employers have had a hard time. Companies have had a hard time finding people to fill job vacancies. There are help wanted signs everywhere. Every company imaginable is looking to hire a workforce, but there are no takers. Or let me put it this way, there are few takers. The economic report, the quarterly economic report, shows that there are people coming off of unemployment, joining the workforce. But the suspicion is that these are people who already have a job and are taking a second job. And this is why we see such numbers as far as people joining the workforce. People are joining, but they're joining because they have to take on a second job because the economy is just so putrid. Now, that's the economic side to things. Let's look at the spiritual side to things. I will tell you that churches are in a panic. Churches are in a panic. How do I know that? I speak to pastors every day. Hordes and great numbers of pastors just keep reaching out, keep talking to me. Tell me how much trouble they're in. Tell me how people are not coming back to church after COVID. Telling me how they're about to lose their buildings because they have not been able to make mortgage payments, so forth and so on. There's a great host of problems. And I get these calls because people want to hire me. They call me because, hey, Dr. T, can you come down? Can you give us, can you devote a month? Can you look at our church and give us a diagnostic? Can you tell us what's wrong with our body? And when you identify the problems, then can you write for us the solutions? We'll pay you. We'll take care of you. We just want to know how we solve these problems. So, again, I know about this because people who, pastors, leaders who are hurting, church boards who are hurting, church boards who are just in a downward spiral are looking for a way out. So they're putting out the help wanted sign, and they think that by calling me, I'll be able to provide them with some help. Also, in addition to churches, which is a large family, a church is one big, large family. That's what a church is. But then regular families, a family made up of a husband and a wife and a few children, they're also in a panic. People, families, the nuclear family, the small family unit made up of a husband and a wife, perhaps a mother-in-law who lives at home, a father-in-law who lives at home with a few children and a dog or two, they're in a panic. Seem to make ends meet. They can't see their way out of trouble. And then you go from the family to individuals. They're just some people who live by themselves. Some who live in nursing homes, others who live at home by themselves and are elderly, others who live by themselves, they're just starting out in life, they're not married. These individuals who live by themselves also are in a panic. So you have individuals in a panic, families who are in a panic, entire churches who are in a panic. And they're putting out the help wanted sign. Can someone come in here and help us? And they're turning to men. They're turning to people like me. Well, it's my job, and it's always been my job, that when people come to me thinking that I'm the solution or thinking that I have some magical ability to turn this situation around, it's my job to remind them and to remind all that we need to put the Lord on the job. Give the job to the Lord. Give it to God. It says, look at chapter 9, Psalm 9, a psalm of praise. David praises the Lord. And this is what he says in Psalm 9, verse 9. The Lord also. Now that little word or also, that little four-letter word also, means that David is about to add some things that God has done. So by the time David gets to verse 9, the Lord has already done for his people a great number of things. And so he adds in verse 9, the Lord also will be what? A refuge. This is what churches need. The churches need for God to be their refuge. Families need for God to be their refuge. Individuals need for God to be their refuge. God is so many things, but he will also be your refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. The world is in a panic. The world is in turmoil. Churches, Christian families, and singular individuals are in a panic. And I would say to you, and I would say to all, give the Lord the job. You know, every time I've applied to pastor a church, every time, except the first time, and the first time, no one asked me for a resume because When I left for Bible college, my pastor told me, Michael, when you graduate, there'll be a job for you here. That's been the only place where I needed not submit a resume, because it was my home church. It was the church who nurtured me through Sunday school as a child, all the way through my teenage years, all the way to my early, early manhood days. It was my church. So I didn't need to submit a resume there. But subsequently, all the other Christian jobs, all the other places I went to, people wanted a resume. And I would say to people, you're asking the wrong person for the resume. And they would say, well, aren't you applying for the job? I said, indeed I am. But it's not my resume you should be looking at. It is the Lord's resume. The Lord's. The Lord's. David says in verse 9, and this is why, again, saints, listen to me. I'll be there for you. I will be there to hold your hand. I'll be there to cry with you. I'll be there to pray with you. I'll be there to provide whatever counsel I can. I'll be there with you in the tough times. I'll be there in the most horrific. I will be there. But I am only an extension of the one who is really there, and that is the Lord. Look at verse 9. The Lord also. Boy, how many alsos are there in the Bible when it comes to the Lord? Because the Lord does this, and he does this, and he does this, and he does this. And then when you think you're done with all the things he's done, the writer or the psalmist will say, and also, don't forget to add this, and also the Lord will be a refuge to the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Look at verse 10. And they that know thy name, or they that know thy resume. See, anyone who knows God's resume, what's God's resume? Well, it's the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, we are told who God is and what he can do and what he does for those who are his. And they that know thy resume will do what? Will put their trust in thee. My brothers and sisters, there's no need. Listen. I had a doctor's appointment this morning. I had a doctor's appointment this morning because Sister Torres, being the good wife that she is, she always ensures that I make my doctor's appointment. Now, I really don't want to go to a doctor's appointment. I really don't feel I have a need to go to a doctor's appointment, but she sets them up. She puts me in the car. She puts my seatbelt on. She takes me there, and she sits with me in the office, and then they do all the tests. Well, I knew I was fine, but it was good for her to hear that I was fine. But if I wasn't fine, if they had found something that was wrong, I appreciate the doctors, I appreciate the nurses, I appreciate the staff, I appreciate everyone at the hospital. But my physician is the great physician. I know his resume. I know what he's done in the past, and I know what he'll do in the future. When it comes to this bad economy, when it comes to the bad economic climate of this nation, I'm not immune to that. I live in this world. I live in this country. I drove up today, and gas was $3.99 a gallon. The same gas station you drove up to is the same one I drove up to, $3.99. I'm not immune because I'm a Christian. I don't get gas for $2 while unsaved people get it for $4. No, I get it at the same price as whom? The unsaved. I go to the supermarket. I get to pay for everything the same way the unsaved gets to pay for everything, at the same price. Yet, I know who is my source. Who is my banker? Who finances me? Who bankrolls me? Who subsidizes me? It is the Lord. He's got the job. God is my accountant. God is my economic advisor. He is my doctor. He is my accountant. The Lord is also my what? He's my teacher. If I need wisdom, if I need knowledge, he provides it. You see, they that know thy name, they that know his resume, they don't go about hiring. And listen, I'm not saying don't hire a lawyer. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't hire someone to do your taxes. I don't advise you to do your taxes by yourself. I don't advise you to do surgery on yourself. No. I'm not talking that way. I'm not advising that. But the overall accountant, the overall doctor, the supervising doctor, the supervising accountant, the supervising teacher is the Lord. Whatever trouble I confront, I do not worry because I know his name. Those that know his name, those that know his resume, those that know what he can do, those who have been informed as to what he has done will put their trust in him. The Lord has not forsaken them who seek him, and that means to pray. No one need apply. Not for me. If someone says, you know, brother, I heard you need some help. No one need apply. Why? The Lord is on it. Well, that's kind of mystical. That's kind of wacky. Don't you think that's kind of, well, that's my position. No one need apply. The Lord is on the job. The Lord is on the job. He's always been on the job. He's always been there and always will be. They that know thy name, says verse 10, will put their trust in thee. They will put all their eggs into one basket. Because the Lord has never forsaken those who seek him in spirit and in truth. And in the end, verse 11, they will sing praises to the Lord, to him that dwells in Zion, and they will testify of his doings. They will give him glory by sharing what God has done for them with others. As we close, let me encourage you to go to Psalm 12. Look at Psalm 12, verse 1. Help, Lord. Help. You see, we could put out a help wanted sign. I'm not saying don't put out a help wanted sign, but only let one person apply. David says, I need help. But the person who I'm looking to help me is exclusively the Lord. Help, Lord. Why, Lord? Why do I need your help? Because the godly man is being erased off the face of the earth. That's why, Lord. Help us. Good people are diminishing in society. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, come by our side. Oh, God, our numbers are dwindling. People on the front line of the battle, they are starting to dwindle. Help, Lord. So, yes, we are putting a help wanted sign out, but it's directed to one applicant. I get goosebumps. Oh, the word of God is just so powerful. There's only one person need apply. And it's not some bishop or some archbishop or some professor of theology. No. Help, Lord. Now, turn with me to Psalm 20. Psalm 20, it says in Psalm 20, verse 2. But let me read verse 1. The Lord hear thee. See, David is speaking to individuals. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob. Again, there's that resume. The resume of the God of Jacob defend thee as he defended Jacob when Jacob was outnumbered by all his enemies. You look at the life of Jacob. Jacob was always in the minority. Jacob was always at a disadvantage. Jacob always had the lesser numbers. Yet Jacob always wound on top because God defended him. Let that same God defend you. When the odds are against you, let the God of Jacob, the God who's able to flip the odds in your favor, let him defend you. And then verse 2, send thee help. Let God send thee help from his sanctuary. Let God send thee help from 20 Center Street. You know, God resides at 20 Center Street, whether people want to believe it or not. Oh, he sits there. God, that is 20 Center Street. What a place. God is there, saints. I feel him every day when I go into that building. He's there enthroned. Oh, when you cry out to him, wherever you may be, where you may be far from 20 Center Street, but the moment you cry out to the God where you go to worship, he will send you help from his sanctuary. So, here's the final scripture. Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Oh, I'm putting out I'm in trouble, Lord. I am putting out on my front door a help. Where will my help come from? Who will apply to rescue me? The answer is found in verse 2. My help, your help, our help cometh from the Lord. Oh, my brothers and sisters, no one need apply. The Lord is on the job. Don't let anyone ever take the Lord's place. Don't ever give the Lord's job to some pastor, to some group of pastors, to some prayer warriors. I love pastors. I appreciate pastors. I have a great appreciation for prayer warriors. But my help does not come from them. My help comes from the Lord. My help always comes from the Lord. Now, what the pastors do and what the prayer warriors do is they help me in my cry. Together, they join with me in crying to the Lord, who is my help. But they're not my help. They're my support group. And there's a difference. They keep supporting me until the help finally arrives. They keep holding my hand while the help is on the way. But they're not my help. My help comes from the Lord. He will never suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keeps you does not slumber nor sleep. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. He will preserve your soul. He will preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. My brothers and sisters, I know. Families are going through a tough time. I know individuals are going through a hard time. I know churches are going through a hard time. But no one need apply. Why? Because all churches, all families, all individuals ought to go to Psalm 121 and pose the question, from whence cometh my help? and the answer will come back like a flying arrow, as quickly as a flying arrow. My help comes from the Lord. I'll be back tomorrow to expand a little bit more on this beautiful, wonderful text. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he watch over you until we meet again.